Most of the mountain passes through which Afghanistan's main trade routes ran were held by the Rilzie tribes, who for many years, over the lives of many different rulers of the country, had been paid a stipend to keep the passes open. Macnaghten decided to cut this stipend in half. The Rilzie responded by blocking the passes, and elsewhere in the country, tribes sympathetic to the Rilzie rebelled. Macnaghten, caught off guard, tried to put these rebellions down, but he did not take them too seriously, and worried officers who told him to respond more vigorously were rebuked for overreacting. Now, the British Army would have to stay indefinitely. The situation deteriorated quickly. In October 1841, a mob attacked the home of a British official and killed him. In Kabul, local chiefs began to conspire to expel their British overlords. Shah Shuja panicked. For months, he had begged Macnaghten to let him capture and kill his main rivals, an Afghan ruler's traditional method of securing his position. Macnaghten had told him that a civilized country did not use murder to solve its political problems. The Shah knew that the Afghans respected strength and authority, not civilized values. To them, his failure to deal with his enemies made him look weak and unruler-like and left him surrounded by enemies. Macnaghten would not listen. The rebellion spread, and Macnaghten now had to confront the fact that he did not have the manpower to put down a general uprising. But why should he panic? The Afghans and their leaders were naive. He would regain the upper hand through intrigue and cleverness. To that end, Macnaghten publicly negotiated an agreement whereby British troops and citizens would leave Afghanistan in exchange for which the Afghans would supply the retreating British with food. Privately, though, Macnaghten made it known to a few key chiefs that he was willing to make one of them the country's vizier and load him with money, in exchange for putting down the rebellion and allowing the English to stay. The chief of the Eastern Rilzie, Akbar Khan, responded to this offer, and on December 23, 1841, Macnaghten rode out for a private meeting with him to seal the bargain. After exchanging greetings, Akbar asked Macnaghten if he wanted to go ahead with the treachery they were planning. Thrilled to have turned the situation around, Macnaghten cheerily answered that he did. Without a word of explanation, Akbar signaled his men to grab Macnaghten and throw him in prison. He had no intention of betraying the other chiefs. Along the way, a mob developed, caught hold of the unfortunate envoy, and with a fury built up over years of humiliation, literally tore him to pieces. His limbs and head were paraded through the streets of Kabul, and his torso was hung from a meat hook in the bazaar. In a matter of days, everything unraveled. The remaining British troops, some 4,500 of them, along with 12,000 camp followers, were forced to agree to an immediate retreat from Afghanistan, despite the bitter winter weather. The Afghans were to keep the retreating army supplied, but did not do so. Certain that the British would never leave unless forced to, they harassed them relentlessly in their retreat. Civilians and soldiers alike quickly perished in the snow. On January 13th, British forces at the fort in Jalalabad saw a single horse struggling toward the gates. Its half-dead rider, Dr. William Bryden, was the sole survivor of the British Army's doomed invasion of Afghanistan. Interpretation. The knowledge that would have averted the catastrophe was at Macnaghten's fingertips long before he launched the expedition. Englishmen and Indians who had lived in Afghanistan could have told him that the Afghan people were among the proudest and most independent on the planet. To them, the image of foreign troops marching into Kabul would constitute an unforgivable humiliation. On top of that, they were not a people yearning for peace, prosperity, and reconciliation. In fact, they saw strife and confrontation as a healthy way of life. Macnaghten had the information, but refused to see it. Instead, he projected onto the Afghans the values of an Englishman, which he mistakenly assumed were universal. Blinded by narcissism, he misread every signal along the way. As a result, his strategic moves, leaving the British Army occupying Kabul, cutting in half the Rilzie stipend, trying not to overplay his hand in putting down the rebellions, were exactly the opposite of what was needed. And on that fateful day, when he literally lost his head, he made the ultimate miscalculation, imagining that money and an appeal to self-interest would buy loyalty among the very people he had so humiliated. Blindness and narcissism like this are not so rare. We find them every day. Our natural tendency is to see other people as mere reflections of our own desires and values, failing to understand the ways they are not like us. We are surprised when they do not respond as we had imagined. We unintentionally offend and alienate people, then blame them, not our inability to understand them, for the damage done. Understand. If you let narcissism act as a screen between you and other people, you will misread them, and your strategies will misfire. You must be aware of this and struggle to see others dispassionately. Every individual is like an alien culture. You must get inside his or her way of thinking, not as an exercise in sensitivity, but out of strategic necessity. Only by knowing your enemies can you ever hope to vanquish them. Keys to warfare. The greatest power you could have in life would come neither from limitless resources nor even consummate skill in strategy. It would come from clear knowledge of those around you, the ability to read people like a book. Given that knowledge, you could distinguish friend from foe, smoking out snakes in the grass. You could anticipate your enemy's malice, pierce their strategies, and take defensive action. Their transparency would reveal to you the emotions they could least control. Armed with that knowledge, you could make them tumble into traps and destroy them.